This week I have a one-on-one with one of my favourite people in the fitness industry, Dan Conn. We discuss his fascinating journey from where he came from, the outback, played football, launched some major brands in the fitness industry to find that he did it faking. He was hurting the whole time he did it. We chat about fitness influences, him as a model, some of the brands he looks after, but the big things. We touch on his physical and mental approach to life and what it really means to be Dan Conn.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by the revolutionary new Hydroxyburn Sleep RX. This natural therapeutic sleep formula is unlike any other, designed specifically to combat the negative impacts of poor sleep on the mind and body without the common side effects associated with other sleep aids. It combines innovative and clinically researched German ingredients Recoverburn and Blue Ness with other safe proven herbs to calm the mind and soothe the nerves, helping you sleep better. How? Via lower levels of stress and anxiety and reduced muscle pain, improving your recovery time and enhancing mood. Sleep better.
I'm really excited about today. We are at Body Science HQ. It's a Saturday, and one of my good mates in the fitness industry, Dan Conn, has hit Body Science HQ to talk about fit, happy, and healthy. In fact, today we're going to talk about something really close to Dan's heart. It's something that he puts a lot of his personal time into, and you have to believe he's a champion for what he does in this area of mental health. Dan, how are you, mate?
Good. I'm very, very happy that I'm finally up here. It's been a while since I can actually say I've sat down here with you, had a good face-to-face chat, so I'm very excited to go through some of this stuff. It's obviously very close to my heart, and it's taken me many years in the health and fitness industry, going through my ups and downs personally, to realize what is my purpose. And it's really great that I can sit here today and talk about it with you.
And when Dan talks about his purpose, there's a lot of stats out there for us who live in a bubble, and I live in a bubble. In Australia, it's estimated that 45% of people will experience a mental health condition in their lifetime. So the person you're sitting next to is going to have a mental health condition at some time during their life. In any one year, 1 million Australian adults have depression and 2 million have anxiety. And I'm going to be honest, I think that anxiety one is at the lower level of where the truth is.
I think you're spot on. Yeah. I think there's a lot higher than that.
So, mate, before we kick into mental health, let's talk a little bit about the DC story. Let's put a nice positive on this.
Yeah.
You are one of the biggest people in Australia's fitness industry. How did you do that?
I wouldn't say I'm one of the biggest, mate. I've been very lucky. Yep. I've stuck to my guns. When I finished footy, I broke my neck in 2012.
And you said you've been lucky. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. But when I came out of it, mate, there was two things I could do. I could kick stones to get down the way of, you know, NRL did this to me, and I've gotten, you know. Or you could look at the people that have come through at more adversity than that, in terms of going overseas in the military. You know, you look at Alex and what he's done for Newcastle Knights and all that sort of stuff. So I decided to find my purpose in a different sort of perspective and go on a different route. And that went into the health and fitness industry, where I remember when I first started at the Bulldogs and even here at the Gold Coast Titans, every time we did training drills or there was, you know, things to be done outside when it comes to physical or mental toughness, I'll be the person asking the questions, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
What's the point? So I remember grilling Mac Daddy, as I call him, Dr. Mac, saying, Mac, why are we doing this? What's the point of this? How's this going to make us better? And I did that. And then I realized, you know, that my purpose was to really understand how not just the body works, but also how the mind works. And that's led me to this really cool purpose of understanding how to get people to overcome adversity through either be it mindset, be it nutrition, which is a really, really big part of my life now with my partners, a clinical nutritionist and working with Body Science, and also that physical aspect. And I think they're the three keys that all tie together. I mean, even when we're in the womb, our brain and our guts are connected. So when we come out, what goes into our gut affects our mind, and, you know, that mindset affects our physical ability. So everything's connected. So this purpose of sort of teaching people how to be positive and how to find their happy place is what I call it. That's been the thing I can actually say. I've never actually said it until about a year and a half ago. I said, this is my purpose. And when I said it, it just felt
good.
Felt good, man.
Yeah,
it felt real good.
Well, I think we've all got to sit back and really think about that. And I just want to touch on something you talked about then, that mental health is about wellness rather than illness. And, you know, that's where people like you can really make change. So I've got a mate in my life. He's not looking the best. What do I do? Well, I know that's a tough thing to ask because us guys don't talk about it. I was looking at a stat that guys just don't communicate with guys on how you're feeling, you know. And there's some groups that you deal with who have done some wonderful stuff in that area.
Yeah. I mean, the stigma is still there, but it is lifting. And that's the really cool thing about Are You Okay and all these different organizations. But I think asking the question, or even sharing your own adversity.
Yep.
If you share your own adversity, if I said, Greg, I'm not feeling too good today, mate, like I'm struggling a bit. I reckon that if you were struggling as well, you'd say, geez, I'm glad you told me, mate, neither am I. So it's kind of like that share for share. The four steps for Are You Okay are pretty simple. You ask the question, you listen to what they want to what they've got to say. Then you encourage action, which might be, you know, mate, let's go and grab a cup of tea and let's have a proper talk about it. Or maybe you should see a doctor. Maybe I'll come with you to the doctor if you want some support. And the fourth thing is the most important thing, and that is to check in with people. So
checking in.
And that's the check-in purpose is also, you can bring that back to step one. If you haven't heard from a mate, say you got a WhatsApp group, for example.
Yep.
I heard a really, really emotional story from the guys from GQ. And these are the guys that work for GQ. And they told me a story. There's a WhatsApp group and there was this one guy on there and they didn't hear from him for probably about 2 months. And no one thought about asking him, is he okay? But the WhatsApp group kept going on. And unfortunately, he took his own life. And you know, the guys at GQ were like, geez, how do we...
That's a life-changing moment.
Yeah, and they thought, well, we're checking in on a social media device. We're not actually looking in him in his eye and saying, mate, are you okay? Pick up the phone, are you okay? There's many different ways you can tap into it, but there is some amazing organisations and we are definitely getting better at it as a nation.
You were telling me in the car on the way here that Lifeline have got some great technology and great concepts in play in relation to, and you are an ambassador for Lifeline, is that correct?
Yeah, National Ambassador for Lifeline. I actually did that when I was going through one of my hardest times with my own depression. I've got what's called melancholic depression. So it's
what's that?
It's when you get really low and something really good will happen, but you don't feel the effect of it. Something really bad will happen, you don't feel the effect of it. So you're kind of in this bit of a zombie land.
Wow, how did you move through that?
It was difficult. I felt the pressure was on me because people around me who were positive and I couldn't be positive with them. Or if it was something good happened to someone, I had to fake that I was feeling good for them.
You pretty well much were the face of F45 and created something massive in the fitness industry and created a lot of change there.
Yeah.
And you were going through this period where you were just flatlining.
Yeah, so...
How did you do that, mate?
Not many people knew about that. I mean, the very close people knew about that, but I was doing... I would have done about 250 to 300 studio openings around the world.
Wow.
So you rock up and, you know, you got to put on that, I call it the clown face and high-fiving and...
It's not just a clown face. You had to hug. I just went down the park with you. You had to hug 100 people and take selfies and photos. And there's a lot sitting on those shoulders outside of what the PD would say that you had to do in that description. Like, and sorry I'm harping on this, but how did you do that?
I guess practice, but it got to a point where it wore me out. And I think people that are listening to it could relate to that, putting on that face until a point where you're so worn out of acting like everything's okay that you just so low that you have to put your hand up and say, I'm not okay. And that's what I did. I put my hand up and said, I'm not okay. And I turned to, luckily I've got some really good family members, with both my sisters work in mental health. Yeah, I started my road back to recovery. And all the stuff I do now is I generally appreciate so much more when I'm in that positive environment. Because I said a little bit to coming here, I was going, mate, the positive culture and being inside a positive culture is contagious. And I didn't realize it back then. I was just there because I thought, you know, I had to do this. This is the job. But now doing it as my own person and doing it with brands that align with my values, you know, like you guys with the wellness and the happiness and the fitness side, Samsung creativity, Adidas creativity, all these things that inspire me to be positive. And I'm surrounding myself with more positive people. So there's no more acting anymore. It's actually, it's Dan Conn, and I get to feed off all these positive people. So there's no acting, there's no going away feeling tired and sort of run down because you put on that face. You're actually going away going, I want to go back and hang out with these people again because they make me feel good and I make them feel good. And if we can build this community, imagine how contagious this positivity can be.
So mate, what are you doing with your peers in business and the brands that you're associated with, like Samsung, Adidas, Body Science, in relation to building those communities?
I'm very lucky in the positions I'm in. Body Science, of course, I'm very lucky to be here and working with all you guys. With Samsung, again, I've a really free rein to do some really cool things, and they're all about do what you can't. That's nice. Their slogan, do what you can't.
I like that.
And they said, what does it mean to you? And like, it took me a while, and I wrote it down. I ended up writing a whole paragraph, do what you can't, and about tried to make it a really positive spin on, you know, people that say you can't do this, you can't do that, and it's going against the grain and actually doing things that people never thought were possible. And then, of course, with Adidas is the creativity aspect, and we're here to create. So I do some great things with Adidas, with some awesome friends of mine that are great at videography and getting the messaging out there. And it is literally positive messages done with this beautiful, you know, Adidas sort of culture.
They know how to bring.
They know how to nail it. Yeah. Positivity. And in saying that, we've got approved to go over and do some stuff with the Singapore, which is the big head office, and soon, hopefully in a few months, you might see a really big activation of over 1,000 people with Adidas. So nice. Stay tuned for that one.
Nice. I'll be looking for my ticket in the mail, mate.
Mate, you might get one. We'll see.
So, mate, depression's more than just a low mood. Let's step back to the days when you were pretending to be happy to the world. You reached out to, was it Lifeline at the time? You were telling me was someone that you said, I'm going to partner with these guys and I'm going to change this. That was part of your journey. Have I got that timing right?
Yeah, you have. You have. Yeah. Spot on.
I just want to say to everyone, that's a massive step when you're feeling like you are, to go, you know what, I'm going to go and give. And I'm a massive believer that when you give and you help others and it's not about you and there's a higher authority than you, you feel good about what you're doing. Like, that's something that 100%. I personally, that's one of my things, and that's why
I totally agree.
Nathan and I are so generous in what we do. People don't know what we do, but we do something every day, you know, and every day I know that's going to happen, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But for you, I haven't been where you are. Yeah. I don't know if I have. I could have denied it a couple of times. The old Essendon doping thing didn't do a lot of good things for me, but it's the word supplement got thrown around loosely at that time. For you, I just want to, mate, if we can tell people and we can help one person from this today, like, so it wasn't just a low mood. You felt like you're in a cold shower. How did you feel? What was it? Yeah. What should people be looking out for? And then what made you want to reach out to someone like Lifeline and say, let's change the world?
I was isolating myself from friends, family. I got really good at faking to my parents and my sisters. So the phone calls, when they were coming through, I could pick it up and be on, hey, and then I realized I was getting too good at that. And I was isolating myself from doing things that would just naturally, you know, go get a coffee. Instead of that, I'd be, you know, try and just dodge everybody and not talk to everybody. And that's
were you hitting alcohol and drugs and stuff, like,
no,
is that type
I wasn't
of thing coming in? So it was just
come from a background of abuse of alcohol, so that's one thing that I definitely did want to go down.
Yep.
And that's why I've got the tattoo on my neck called Breaking the Cycle. So the way I look at it is, your parents, and they don't know any better at the time, sometimes they pass those traits down to you, and it's your responsibility to identify your own traits and pass them down to your kids. And that's why I got the Breaking the Cycle thing. When it came to going down to Lifeline, I was going to call them, and I did call them, and they're asking me hello, and I didn't know what to say. And then I sent an email because I felt too stressed to talk over the phone.
Yeah, that's a big phone call to make.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And I sent an email and I said, I'd love to be involved. I'm not too sure how I can be involved. Done a bit of this, done a bit of that. But my passion is to really try and not just turn myself around, but I'd love to try and help some people, because that's what makes me feel better in it at the moment. And Lifeline, honestly, was in a couple of days. They said, would you fly down to Canberra? So I flew down to Canberra, and it was a little bit of a whirlwind, and I became the national ambassador, or one of the national ambassadors. And it was a bit of an emotional thing, meeting everybody that answers the phone calls. Like, when
the heart and soul.
Yeah. And yeah. I opened one in Dubbo not long ago, another call center, and that means they answer 3,000 more phone calls a year.
Is that right?
3,000 people that you never know what's going to happen to that 3,000 people. So I started to realize, you know, they're the things that make the difference. And that comes back to finding your own purpose. And you got to go through the, like everyone says, you got to go through the really bad times and your personal struggles to work out where you want to go next. And if you're going to go make a difference, or you're just going to chip away and get through life.
You're a fucking legend, mate. I love it. You went through a period where you thought you were failing. Did you think it was your fault?
Yeah.
Were you thinking nothing good's ever going to happen to me ever again?
In a strange mindset, I thought, you sit there and just think, oh, what's the point of doing this? I'm not really helping that many people. And, you know, on social media, maybe I'm not helping that many people the way I want to help that many people. And sometimes you sort of question what you're doing, and then you go to somewhere and you see the positive impact you've had. I've been to Bali. Had someone pop down the street just a minute ago come up and say, I love following you and your journeys and all this sort of stuff. And it's not all about the brand stuff's always great to have there, but when they see the inside stories and, you know, you've got a relationship and you do suffer bad days, and I'm not afraid to tell that you can have bad days just as many as you have good days. It's what I preach by. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, but I think now with where I'm at and what the next probably 3 months holds for me is going to be probably the most exciting part of my life.
So, mate, I've got a bit of shiver going up my back, sorry. We haven't had a lot of these types of chats. But, you know, you really want to talk about mental health and get that message out there.
Yeah.
Lifeline, why Lifeline? You thought that was the right choice at the right time? Like, you didn't really, I mean, you do a lot with Are You Okay?
Yep.
And you do a lot with Lifeline. And one of them's very good at marketing, and one of them is rock solid background, got structure, different type of.
The two difference for me was Lifeline has a call center. When they told me the figures that they come through, and I went down there and met the people that answer the phones and talk to them, it didn't become about the people that called in. I was more interested about the people that take the calls and what they listen to and how they respond to it. Because I get people, obviously, on social media, Facebook, a lot of people asking me questions that are not to my caliber to answer. So I've got to direct them somewhere. So Lifeline for me is a great way to direct people to get some help, because I do get faced with some questions that are, for me, really scary. And I can't help for my personality to take those questions on. And if you've got three or four people saying, I'm thinking about doing this, can you help me, in a day, it doesn't matter who you are, that affects you. And so if you can just quickly get to them, say, listen, please call this number, I recommend it, please get in touch. So that Lifeline is definitely something that's helped me go after that side of my personal life, and not taking everything on, because when you take everything on, you find it harder to deal with your own stuff as well. Are You Okay is a 10th year anniversary this year.
Ten years, wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so mate, it's an amazing story, and I heard the family speak, heard a lot of, like, Casey Donovan performed. It was a beautiful morning at Barangaroo down in Sydney, but they did 14,000 kilometres around Australia, and I was crossing over from Indigenous people to Australian people to, you know, all different cultures, about asking just a bloody simple question, are you okay?
Mm.
You know, there was an Aboriginal lady that opened the address and gave thanks to the people before her in the land, and she said so well, you know, it's a simple question that can save so many lives. And I think are you okay, and that messaging, every single year it's gotten stronger and more people have gotten involved and more people have come out of their shells. So the stigma's lifting, and I think with the caliber of people coming on board, for me, it's a massive positive in terms of a cultural shift, because that stigma also lies within men. But you see more men like Buddy Franklin, he put his hand up. Greg Inglis put his hand up. Guys like that in the sporting community putting their hand up and saying, yeah, I'm not okay. I'm going to take some time out. I'm not 100%. I'm not as superstar as those guys. But, you know, I put my hand up and said, I'm not okay. And I went and got myself, you know, rehabilitated and looked after properly. And, you know, you do that and someone comes back to you and says, oh, I thought your life was sweet. I saw you were in Bali holidaying and on Instagram, and you go, mate, smoke some mirrors, brother. You got to...
Only the best photos ever make Insta.
That's it. Which is that's the I want to do more realistic stuff with the brands, with my own personal life. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the next couple of chapters. A lot of shackles will come off my back in the next couple of months, where I can just go out there and be Dan Conn.
Mate, you're a massive human in relation to the world, resilient. Like, that's a word you use over and over and over again when I'm talking with you.
I love it.
Do you want to tell us why that word means so much to you?
Resilience, I mean, overcoming hurdles and the way you overcome hurdles, and it can be the smallest hurdle, it can be something so tough in your life. But if you can get through that and build up your own resilience, it's such a courageous effort. And I've been working with a mentor of mine. He's ex-SAS, and he talks about some serious resilience when you're talking in the military. You know, the word just stuck with me. And resilience is something we face every single day. So, you know, that resilience and teaching people how to create their own resilience, because it's just like a nutrition plan for you or a training program for me. It's all going to be different.
Yeah.
So your resilience program or the backup plan, what are you going to do when it gets tough? And that's what I say. What are you going to do when it gets tough? What are you going to do when you got all your, you haven't got bricks and mortar, you've got a social media page and that goes, what are you going to do then? And they go, oh shit, didn't think about that.
Mm.
So you've got to be prepared, and you've got to be tough enough to say, well, I'm going to get on with this. I've heard some great speakers recently. I've been trying to get my head into as many really good talks through some really cool people, in terms of, you know, Steve Walsh with the Red Bull Training Performance, and some of the I really want to get into the military stuff, because I love that resilience and, you know, smash people for 24, 50 hours until they're broken, and do it to myself as well, because I just love pushing people to the point where they find out who they really are. When I talk about little resilience things you face during the day, the thing that excites me the most is having the ability to push someone, however many hours it is, until they're literally just about broken. And that'll be the best thing that'll ever happen to them in their life. They'll realize who they really are at that point. And that's, to me, I think I went through some sort of resilience to find out my purpose. So that's kind of how I relate to resilience, getting through it and finding your purpose.
Mate, what type of tools are there for people out there to look at in relation to changing the path and becoming more resilient? Are you keeping diaries? Do you have apps? Do you meditate every day? What tools are you using to keep you on that path of where you want to go?
There's some apps. There's a Resilience Project, which is a really cool app.
That's, is that the name of the app?
Yeah, the Resilience Project. And that's more of a gratitude app. It just keeps you on. It's very, very basic. It's got the emojis. It's literally like the set of emojis: happy, sad, angry. You'd probably have angry on there most of the time.
Guy loses his hair, all of a sudden he looks angry all the time.
No, but it's a simple app. It's a simple app. But there is some other really cool things out there that you can get onto. But the more and more apps out there, I think you get lost in a little bit of translation.
Yeah.
So always have a backup plan. That's what I call it, the backup plan. Someone says, what do you do on your really tough days? What do you do when you're not feeling very good? What do you do? What's your steps? And I say, well, and this is in front of, I did a talk that I did at Citibank.
Yeah.
And there's all these CEOs, guys that are probably a lot smarter than me and know a lot more about numbers and all that sort of stuff that I don't really care about. But I got up there and I said, well, how many people in here have a backup plan when things don't go right? And a few people said, oh yeah, I got a backup plan. I've got my more, I've invested in this and that. And I said, no, if that doesn't go right, that doesn't work, well, what's your backup plan then? What happens when, you know, your relationship falls apart? What's your backup plan? You know, what happens when you can't get out of bed one day because you feel really miserable? What's your backup plan? Pretty crickets in the room, because people are like, what's this guy talking about? And I said, so tell me, you can't get out of bed one day, you're feeling terrible, you've had a really bad run, you've lost a lot of money on whatever the stock market or whatever it is that's happening in that certain environment that I'm speaking to. What's your backup plan to get you going again? What's the first thing you do? I can openly say that I've sat on there to my bed and I've probably taken 3 hours to put my shoes on before, and probably another, you know, 2 hours to get ready to go outside. And by then it's, you know, probably the end of the day. And I said, my backup plan is, I get up. First thing I have to do is put on music, because it stimulates every single part of the creative brain. The second thing is I have to have a cold shower, so I get the receptors in my brain stimulated. Or if I'm lucky enough, I can get to the beach and just jump in and jump out. And then I start to talk about, grab a piece of paper and I write down three things that I want to happen tomorrow to improve on what happened yesterday. At the end of the week, I keep that piece of paper and I take all the positives from that and I keep them. I write them back down. I take all the negatives and I literally flush it. So it's kind of like a...
When you say flush it, you mean you literally flush it?
Not down the dunny. Scrunched up in a ball and, you know, all the negatives that have happened that week, they're out. The positives you take forward with you. So my little backup plan, I'm just trying to get people to understand it doesn't have to be rocket scientists. It's not about image, money, any of those things.
It's about you and starting.
That comes back to the whole happy factor.
Yeah.
What makes you happy? Where you train makes you happy. Where I train makes me happy. What I do, what you eat makes you happy. What I eat makes me happy. So many people have different ways to get their happy factor. So I think it's really important that we understand not what makes everyone else tick, but what makes yourself tick. And once you find out, yeah, I don't do that because that doesn't make me feel very good, or I don't eat that sort of stuff, doesn't make me feel very good, as simple as that, or I don't go out on a Friday night and have beers because the next day I want to get up and I want to feel good the next day. It's little things like that, and it's just creating habitual change.
Yeah.
And positive habitual change. So they're only little things, little steps, but I guess the more power we get with the cooler brands I get to work with, we can make this...
it's all about messaging it out, isn't it?
Yeah, creating stronger, bigger messages.
So, mate, how did the you're talking to Citibank upper management, obviously. How did they take that? I mean, that's obviously when you're in a role like that, you think, gee, I need to have a portfolio behind me, and if this, you know, if the share market drops, I've got this portfolio. And so you've just talked about putting your shoes on. So how'd that go?
Mate, to be honest, I actually, when I talk in front of people like that and corporate CEOs, I've done a couple now, my first thing is I don't give a shit. I don't care who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Because they're all human.
Mm.
And they might have nice cars and whatever, or they might be a totally different demographic and they might be struggling a lot, but they're still humans.
Yeah.
And they still go through the exact same emotions as these people and these people and these people. Yeah, one of my mentors, he said, mate, when you get up there, just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit. You say what you want to say and you apply it to the audience as you go, because you'll see their reactions, the aha moments.
Yeah.
And you'll start to develop that. I mean, I'm still developing how I speak to different audiences and everything like that. But that's my big passion is getting out and speaking to people, because that's one thing I want to do a lot more of.
And mate, you need to do a lot more of it too, just quietly, a lot more. Anyone wants to manage Dancon's speaking career, just
sign up here.
Yeah. What's the website actually?
www.danielcon.com. It's just about to be relaunched.
Relaunched, nice.
With Body Science products on there, would you believe it?
Nice little drop in there, man. I like it.
Yeah, I thought you would.
So, mate, as we age, does anxiety and depression get simpler or harder? Because some of the stats you read on the age groups and where it's all starting now, it's like when I grew up, I'm nearly 50, we didn't have social media when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call a 50-year-old guy on Instagram, but we didn't have all that. We went out and we rode, and when the lights came on at 6 o'clock at night, you knew you had to be home before the lights came on the street. And
yeah.
The world was different, you know. Everyone's so connected now. And I ask that question seriously because obviously you play in this game, and we talk about footballers and all those people that we see in the media. Is it age specific or is it everyone?
Well, millennials itself isn't age specific. It is everybody. But the stats out, and this is the Bureau of Stats in the US, more millennials are feeling pressure, anxiety, spikes in depression, anorexia due to social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be an amazing tool that can help a lot of people, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But it also can be quite a tool that people get caught up in, and really because of they don't really have that social awareness.
Yep.
Get really caught up in that. As for the older demographic, I think the older guys are actually, and it's really cool to see, the older guys are actually the ones that are breaking a bit of the stigma. Because I remember when I played at the Bulldogs, and there were some other guys at the Roosters, and when the older guys said they weren't feeling great, you probably have about 6 or 7 young fellas come in and say, yeah, I'd like to talk to someone as well, if that's all right. And they would have never have said that if the older guys didn't do it. So I actually see it as a responsibility as the older generation to put their hand up. And when I say old, I don't mean old.
Yeah, I just looked across the table and thought, mate, you're not in the older generation, let's be honest.
Guys like us. But
I was at schoolies week when you were getting your ass wiped.
It's everybody's responsibility. But it is scary to think that now more than ever millennials are getting caught up in some serious depression, anxiety, and anorexia, and all these illnesses that are caused from visual and, you know, seeing things constantly, every, like, daily, flicking through, that aren't positive. We think that looks great in bikinis and she's skinny and he looks got a six pack and he's tanned. It is great sometimes, unless you can back that up with being the real person behind that and telling, you know, plus I have days like this, days like this, days like this. I think there's a big responsibility.
Because you're known for being very honest on your social media. You often Facebook Live when you're sitting on a couch and don't want to get off the couch. One day experience, it might have been Instagram. I was flicking through one day like I do when I'm trying to have 5 minutes to myself and, oh, Dan's on. And I sat there and thought, holy shit. I think I tried to call you. Yeah, you sat there and you told us how you felt and you did not feel good that day. Like,
yeah.
Is that part of what you do to talk about it?
It is. Yep. And you know what? I copped a bit of backlash off that, which I was really...
Did you really?
Yeah, but it wasn't from people. It was actually from companies that want you to be that positive face. And that's what I come back to, putting on that face all the time, that clown face. So I copped a little bit of backlash on that. And then I turned around and I said, well, I don't give a shit, you know, like...
Oh, you must have changed a shitload of lives that day.
Well, mate, and I plan to do a lot more of it. And I actually would like to do, in a bigger regard, like actually sit there and talk about the struggles and when it's actually happening, go live and say, this is what's happening right now.
Because it's an amazing tool when it's used in a powerful way like that.
It's amazing. And that's not just in Australia. That's all around the world.
I think that day you were actually suffering anxiety, if I remember correctly. You had a lot on your plate and you just went...
Totally overwhelmed.
It was anxiety that day you're talking about? I was reading, and I've got it in front of me right now, that anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia.
Crazy.
Are you ready for this? On average, 1 in 4 people, 1 in 3 women, and 1 in 5 men will experience anxiety through their life. We've all had it. We've all been anxious, but anxiety, I think that stat is just getting worse and worse every year, you know. And when people like you can tell the story like, yes, I am one of the people at the top of the fitness chain in Australia, and yes, I do suffer at this level too, I think it tells people that they don't have to all be perfect, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's to be the best you can be, but you don't have to be perfect.
Exactly.
You know, and brands that don't want to back you on that, mate, I just say fuck them.
Yeah,
you know, like 100%. Straight up, you know, if you want to do anything more with us in that area, we're more than happy to jump on. Nathan will be so supportive of that.
Oh, I appreciate that. And that also comes back to stress as well.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that Body Science trying to help with as well, with all the amazing products you guys have got out, there's stress and then there's chronic stress. You know, you can have a stress where there's fight or flight, you know, and someone, if I come up to you and I gave one in the ribs, you probably get...
Watched your box this morning, it hurt.
Probably get a few, you would get a few tingles.
Yeah.
But that's just that common response. But if you have that chronic stress ongoing, the stuff that it can do to your body, and you'd know very much a lot more science here behind this, but what it can do to your body and brain and the effects it can have, it's immense. So chronic stress, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I had my partner Elise was reading them out to me, and chronic stress in Australia, people band-aiding that with either alcohol, drugs, prescriptions, whatever it is, stress is like one of the number one things up there. There's stress, anxiety, depression, and it's all interlinked. Just like you've got your positivity, you know, you've got your resilience and all this side of things. We just have to work out a way to mesh these things together to solve those problems. We're not saying we're going to solve the problems, but I'm saying, if, like you said, if we can
have to start.
If we can help one person, we've done a job. If we can help two, we've done an amazing job. If we could help as many as we could, I'd say, mate, we've done a bloody good job.
Yeah, game on. Game on. So, mate, can you sit down and meditate? Have you got a mind that lets you meditate?
I do.
Are you into it?
My meditation's music.
Okay.
Yeah. I try and say that I'm not creative.
We both know that's bullshit.
Yeah. I am.
We might get you to rap at the end of this. What do you reckon? You just pull one off the top,
throw
under the bus there?
I've actually written a few more verses.
Yeah, I know. You're quite clever in that area.
I've got a few up my sleeve. I might write one for you. I'll drop one tomorrow for you. When I have music in my ears and knowing... you know, you can just sort of zone out and focus on what's going through your head, but also relate that to the positive music you're hearing. You can change a negative situation into next minute, you know, you're writing about it. So I don't know if I did the anxiety piece in here with you guys and did the anxiety.
You actually did. So we've got it on tape too.
Got it on tape, yeah. But yeah, so
we've even put music to it. I'm gonna put it out.
Yeah, mate, let's drop it.
Yeah.
I could write a better one.
You can always do something better, kids, but just remember sometimes you just gotta start.
You just gotta start with something.
Yeah, and then you'll have two, not one. Hey, that's my theories in life. It's got me to where I am. Mate, I'm a massive one for like meditation, and a lot of people think meditation is getting to a zen where your brain doesn't talk to you. I disagree with that. Meditation is totally giving your brain some time, yeah. You know, and you might need to truly think about some things instead of constantly trying to put them in the back of your head. And I'm no expert in this area at all, but I just know for me, 50, we run a business, it's had its ups and downs. And, you know, there's a couple of things that I do in life that keep me, like people say that I'm normally a fairly happy guy, except when I'm going off.
Yeah.
But that's a different thing. That's more of an ego, work-based stupidity thing that I pull out every now and then when I just look at people and go, why? But I get up every day, and when I leave the house, I've got some little Buddha bells up.
Yeah,
and that's just my thing I've got.
Yeah.
But I hit them and I wish happiness to the world.
Yeah, cool.
And I even wish happiness, like if someone's suing me or someone's doing something that happens in life when you run a business,
yeah.
I wish them happiness, and I get in my car thinking happiness to those people. And
yeah.
Then I come home and I do it again, and it's all about my family and everyone else and anyone I'm thinking about at the time. I do that every day, and if I miss it, I drive back home and do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I do that every day. Like that's except when I travel.
Yeah,
I still
wish
happiness, but I don't have the little, to me it's the touching of the bells and the little ching that I get from it. And I read a book, Buddhism for Busy People.
Yeah.
And I'm not a real reader. I'm more a person who likes visual versus reading. I'm the same as you, music, visual versus reading books and stuff. But I got one thing out of that, and that was the thing that I took on for me, and that has got me through some highs and lows in life.
It's amazing.
Because once again, I'm giving that to other people when I'm feeling I need it myself as well. And
yeah.
But I've had days where I wish myself happiness too. You know, I walk out the door and go, happiness to you, big dog. You know, get out there and
so you should.
Let's do this. And I do 10 minutes meditation every day.
Yeah.
I found this little thing on YouTube. It's this lady's voice. She just works for me. Like I've tried heaps of different meditation apps and stuff. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Every day I just turn, and the crew often comes in here and lies down the floor with me or gets in a corner or whatever. And because we've got a pretty big office here, and they just sit and they'll do it as well. And we used to do it as a group where at one stage we had it where you could make the call. Let's go do it. You know, I want to go. Yeah. I need to just switch off for 10 minutes and everyone had to get up and do it at that stage.
That's amazing.
But yeah. We do a lot of that type of stuff here. And that for me, that's the things that and surfing and then training at night in my garage. But they're the things that really keep me on that level because it's
the mindset
because anxiety is always tapping.
Yeah.
It's always knocking on the door with me. Like it's something that I don't have it. I don't believe. I could be wrong. I should go see someone and find out.
Anxiety is actually not an illness. It's not a disease. It's just.
And that's what touched me when you talked about the wellness aspect of it all before, like getting, it's wellness, not an illness. And they're the things I do to keep my wellness in play.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's why I was so actually really keen to hear what you did, because when you told me where you were, and you created something massive in the industry. What you did with F45, you know, was nobody's done that. Do you know what I mean? You really got to the peak of the mountain as far as your brand at that stage was just, it was bigger than F45, if you ask me, you know, and they had a vehicle, you didn't, you know, and that's where the split happened. You've got something very exciting to tell people, and I think you need to get out and tell it to more people, mate.
Yeah, well, that's the next couple of months is my big goals is to really do that and tell it in my own way. Because I'd never look back at it and say it's a negative thing. Yeah, some things didn't go right. Currently, you know, going through some stuff and see how that goes. But in the future, the only way is up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and working with some really cool people that want to take it to the next level.
And so, you know what? Talking about working with some really cool people, you've fallen in love. You've got a really good partner now. You've got a lot of common goals and a lot of aspirations, and you guys are, and I'm not going to say Sydney's power couple because that'd sound stupid, but you are Sydney's power couple at the moment, and nutritionist.
Yeah, clinical nutritionist, pediatrics. She's worked with Nestle. She's done some pretty cool stuff. She's working with a different franchise now with Danny Green. But
how's that going? They enjoying that? Because she's a boxer too. I was going to get to that. I've watched her on Insta Hit stuff, and I'm never going to piss her off. I know that.
We actually, we had a plan to spar together where she could hit me. I got headgear on, but I couldn't hit her back.
Yeah, right.
That lasted about one round.
Yeah.
And then she hit me hard and I had blood and I was like, right.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like.
So that's a secret to the relationship?
Yeah. Don't spar.
You're not the alpha?
No, but it is. We've got really common interest, and I think.
But she came in and she addressed your food and your diet and your life, and you two worked together to get the DC brand really able to throw that message out.
And we're still growing that. And she came in for a different background, totally not into the health. And she's done boxing and kickboxing, all that stuff, all her life. Then she's done all this corporate stuff, PR and marketing, and now she's in something where she's actually been passionate about for 32 years. Not since she was a little baby, or say about 20 years. And she's doing it now with a group of people that back her.
And she's doing
amazing things with it.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see that. And obviously I give her some guidance where I can if they're getting in too much trouble. Yeah, it is amazing having someone like that sort of to bounce off. She's extremely stubborn. I do all the washing. I do all the dishes. Yeah,
that's like my place too, mate.
Yeah. I don't want to get left hooked if I come around the corner in the kitchen. It has been a bit of a revelation doing that together.
And do you think that's an important thing in life is to find not just your partner but your tribe, like those people that you can, let's do this, let's go there, and that's an important part of life?
Yeah, I think the last 6 to 12 months, I found it personally a group of probably about 8 people that I would say, these are the people that I want in my circle.
Yep.
And she's probably got, you know, similar, you know, 4 or 5 people. And within that circle, I mean, there's some pretty influential people. I mean, talking like Body Science, Samsung, Adidas, Red Bull, like all these people that are, and their common goals. And I wrote my values out 4 years ago and I haven't changed them since. Each of these brands, they all represent the same sort of values. So positivity, making a difference in people's lives, trying to create a huge community of people on the same level, and then having a help center for people that need help. You know, it's really cool.
Mate, we should get some, we should put together some programs and print some literature and get some things out there that work on your mantra, where you want to be and what you want to do.
I'd love to do that.
Positive vibes only.
That's it, mate. Positive vibes only. And if...
could be a good website, mate.
It could be. The beautiful thing is about positivity, mate, is contagious.
Yeah.
So if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. And if there's someone else in the room, they'll probably catch on to it too.
Nice. I think that's a good way to finish. Spread that.
Spread that.
Mate, I've loved talking to you. You're one of my favourite people in the health and fitness industry. You are going to be part of our family for a long time, I hope.
I will be, mate. I promise you that.
And this year, we're going to do some really cool stuff around the wellness aspect of our brand, Fit, Happy, Healthy. You are definitely every single one of those at the moment. I congratulate you on where you're at.
Thanks for having me, big fella.
You're a champion.
Thanks, brother.
See you, mate.
See ya. You can't think you even wrote a single word in my book. Fuck, what do you think, man? Just come and take one quick look. Gaze into the way I see the world and how life's really going down. You're not even close, son. Not in my country, my city, not even in my town. You think you know what it means to be a real millennium creator? I listen to the people. They have no time for you. Not now, not then, not later. You think you know what it takes to write a chapter or even in one of my pages? You don't see what I see. I see the future. You're stuck back in the ages. I make it happen. I'm a dream chaser, a plan maker. You can't try and copy me, mimic me. You just be another faker. I stay humble. I keep my followers dreaming of life's biggest highs. I still have bad days, tough moments, but I'm trained to hunt down only blue skies. Like this plane I sit on right now on the way to my next destination. And just like that, I feel a little anxiety, or maybe it's positive anticipation. Whatever this feeling, I know that's why I'm destined to make people better. Just as I drop that bar, I feel a little bit of sweat grow and my brow get a little wetter. Here comes a wave of anxiety, or maybe it's the depression. I lost my train of thought as I stare down at my Adidas sneakers. Then I feel my beat shock back through Dr. J speakers. Then suddenly I'm 10,000 feet up from where I left my darker version of myself. And now I can see those trophies headed back up to my shelf. My focus is on the big picture and my everyday mission. Trying to explain to people how they can see the world through the transition position. Thought it was a type of magic, man, but nah, it's just me. They used to have hate for the ones that break all expectations. Now they praise us for spinning perception on people's limitations. Don't be fooled. I'm one of a kind.
And this is my book, my chapter, my every single word. And I promise to tell it loud, not caring if it never gets heard. Now let's be real and let wellness align us. Come with me on my journey on the Real Body Science.
This week's podcast was brought to you by the product that calms the mind and soothes the nerves, Hydroxyburn Sleep RX with the bonus ZMB6 Plus, available at ASN nationally, Nutrition Warehouse nationally, Mr. Supplement, Fat Burners Only, Sporty's Warehouse, Evelyn Fay, or online.